Right. Halibut mast oil. Oh, that's, by the way, that's 3353. That's your first anagram while I'm just talking about John the Baptist. So, I've done these so that what's going to happen, of course, is people who like anagrams, they're not going to listen to a word I say. They're going to try and figure out the anagram. But that's okay, because the anagram is the main point of what we're talking about. So you think away about that anagram while clearly only me is going to consider whatever else goes on this morning. So what picture are we looking at there? Obviously, we're looking at John the Baptist and Jesus. Jesus being baptized. John the Baptist had an encounter with Jesus when Jesus came and said to him, "Will you baptize me?" And at first John said, "Whoa, this is the wrong way around. You should be baptizing me." But Jesus insisted. And John, through that encounter, really experienced a total change of understanding, a total change of direction regarding his own ministry and his own life. And a couple of things happened. John saw the Spirit of God descend on Jesus in the form of a dove. And John sensed and saw. And that was telling us something about Jesus and who he was. But prophetically, what was to come was also preparing us for what can happen to us as the Spirit of God takes a hold of our lives. That was the first thing, or one of the things that John saw. The second, John heard the voice of God confirming who Jesus was. "This is my Son, and with him I am pleased." So John saw the Spirit descend on Jesus. John heard the voice of God confirming who Jesus was. And John realized something that was life-changing, which will also relate to our whiteboard. Has anybody got halibut mast oil? Come on, you cryptic crossworders. I know there are a number of you who love anagrams. Sorry, John. I'll go and have a cup of coffee. I'll come back in 5 minutes. Well, I'm afraid I have to spoil this for you. Sorry. If you like anagrams, this is like an advert, so I'll step aside. If you like anagrams, if you Google anagram generator, you can put in any phrase, any word you want, and it'll generate as many anagrams. I limited it to 200 for each of these, by the way. As many anagrams as you want, so, you know, just fill your boots when you go home with that website. Okay, here we go. Fill your boots, yeah. It's all about Jesus. Is that wrong? Oh, yes, I changed that halfway through. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll go back. I do know what it is. So that means you lot who are doing the anagram can continue trying, because it is part of the point, by the way. It's a clue. Yes. It's a clue. I can tell you what it is if you want me to. Are you sure? I haven't. No. It's. I'll tell you a little later. You can keep trying. And it reinforces the point. There was meant to be two of them, actually. But the implicate. Have you got it now? Oh, you've got it now, have you? Has anybody not got it? Does anybody want to hear from somebody who has got it? What have you got? It's all about him. Yes. And then it was supposed to say another anagram. It's all about Jesus. But it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. That's what John learned. And in John chapter 3, that's the Gospel of John chapter 3, we actually hear, or John the Baptist is quoted saying, "He must get greater," or "he must increase, and I must decrease." And he learned a lesson. First of all, it was all about Jesus. Jesus is greater. We are less in that sense. And that's where it relates to the board, because I didn't want to single anybody out to say you were wrong, but you were all wrong. The closest we got was everyone, but the number there should be two. And that's what John the Baptist learned. Jesus must get greater. And if we are to be followers of Jesus, we, in a very positive way, know our place. He is God. We are not. And that's the lesson that really began to turn John the Baptist's life and his ministry around, changed everything for him. And I think if we ever reach that position in our own minds and hearts, and it's an honest position, he must increase and I must decrease, we really are well on the way to understanding what it is to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus. So John the Baptist had that life and ministry transforming realization when he discerned and saw the Spirit, when he heard the voice of God, and he just knew the time had come. It's all about Jesus. And I guess with each of these points, there's always a challenge comes back to us from God. But whenever there's a challenge back to us from God, he presents us with an opportunity. It's never just a challenge that leads us to frustration. A bit like me trying to do an anagram, even a wrong anagram, I'd never get it. The challenge is, for us, in our lives, is it all about Jesus? Is he first? Is he the one who must become and is becoming greater? And we are subservient, we are second to him. The opportunity we're going to look at. These are both right. Now, who do we think this is? Nicodemus. It is Nicodemus. What do we know about Nicodemus? When did he come to Jesus? At night. Absolutely. Nicodemus came under cover of darkness to see and to speak to Jesus. Now, there's two more anagrams for you. I promise these will be right. Both related to the lessons that we learn from this story. We'll come back to them. I'll let you work on them. Nicodemus, we sort of meet with him three times in Scripture at different times, and we're going to look at each of those. I guess you guys are going to want to not see the answers to them for a while, are you? Okay, that's fine. We'll come back to them. Who knows the first time we encounter Nicodemus in the Bible? Oh, you're looking at it. That was the easy one, by the way. It's when he came to Jesus at night. Who can remember what Jesus told Nicodemus in that encounter? Yeah, he shouted out. He introduced this phrase, which is often used in all sorts of circles. Nicodemus heard Jesus say, if you really want to understand what I'm about, what this kingdom of God is about, if you even want to see it or recognize it, you must be born again. Now, I don't think I'm going to be able to go much further without revealing these anagrams, I'm afraid, guys. Any ideas at all? Yeah, fairly certain that's right. First one, go to eat huge anchovy. It's not obvious. Are you ready? Anchovies. I see the link to it. I see the fish link going on there. Yeah, but this is a huge anchovy. This is an anchovy that's been blessed. It's a big one. Okay. Oh, I hope I've got these right. I'm nervous now. Oh, you've got another chance. You have got to change. You have got to change. And we've already heard somebody say, get a new life. That's the first lesson that Nicodemus learned from Jesus. I have to change. Here's Nicodemus, who was claiming to be a follower of God. And Jesus said, actually, if you really want to even understand what that's about, firstly, Nicodemus, you got to change. And it's about getting a new life. It's not about going out and figuring it out for yourself, as we'll see. We often either stop reading the story of Nicodemus and Jesus there, or we forget that the bits that come after that are part of that story. What else do we know? Don't look at your Bibles and cheat. What else did Nicodemus hear from Jesus in that encounter? That you well may be. That's a good sound though. Well, this is John chapter 3. What happens in verse 16? There's not necessarily any break. The conversation just continues. So Nicodemus also heard, having heard, you've got to change life, you need a new life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him. So he heard that message of a radical new expression of God's love. And he heard something else after that. Who knows John 3? Great message. Jesus said, I came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. So here's Nicodemus, this teacher of the law, sitting down at night, not there now, at night, and Jesus is saying, ever so gently really, Nicodemus, you've got it wrong. It's not about that. It's about a new life. And Jesus speaks that to each one of us. He says, basically, the solution to so many, if not all, of the problems we face is we need to change, we need a new life, and that's where the phrase born again comes in. Now, let me tell you, born again isn't somebody who holds up a card and says, I went to a convention or a rally and I gave my life to Jesus. It's about actually committing to live a life for Jesus by his grace. Now, of course, the first part is almost certainly for all of us a realization that he died on a cross for us. And we're saying, Lord, I want that life that you've died to give me. And I want to live that life. And I want to live that life in front of others. I want to be Jesus to other people, an ambassador of Christ. All of that is wrapped up in this life change, in this new life, in this being born again. This message, not of condemnation, but of salvation, of rescue. He's our rescuer. And Nicodemus was taking all of this in. Do we know whether that had any impact on Nicodemus? It did, because we meet him twice more in scriptures. Where? Not chapter and verse. What is the episode? What are the circumstances in which we hear about him again? In the Sanhedrin, the council of elders and leaders. And what was he doing in the Sanhedrin? He was standing up for Jesus. He was defending Jesus. And that was no mean feat. That was a risky thing to do. So clearly something had happened in Nicodemus's life as a result of that encounter with Jesus that turned him round to the point where he was prepared to publicly defend and stand up for Jesus. And then we meet him again right towards the end of the story. Not quite, but towards the end. And he was one of the two people who took the spices and went to Jesus' body and tended and cared for Jesus. So there was a journey for Nicodemus in this life change, from somebody who thought they knew God but really didn't, to somebody who was introduced to what it means to live a life for God through Jesus, to somebody who was then prepared to stand up for Jesus. I know there's a hymn in that. Was prepared to stand up for Jesus and was there faithful right to the end, even to being identified, publicly identified with the one who had been killed for being what? Basically, a heretic, somebody who was worthy of death. There was Nicodemus. That is a life change. That is a journey. So we have, just in those two examples, just a picture. John the Baptist saw the Spirit, heard God, and knew that it was all about Jesus. Nicodemus, who heard Jesus tell him what was required, a new life, and offered it to him, and offers it to us. And Nicodemus was there right at the end. And the very thing which enables Jesus to offer us new life, the cross, he was there. And the challenge, I think, to each of us through all of that is, have we started that journey? And then, where are we on that journey? Because we were at a time of worship last night up at the Valley Methodist Church, out in the wilds, up in the mountains, that was. the roads were slippy. And we just read from Ephesians chapter 3, where God says that he gives more than we can ask or imagine. That's the God that we worship. So no matter how far we are on or not on in that relationship, we can ask God to lead us further, to lead us deeper, to take us closer, and he will. The only thing that stops that happening is us. So there's the challenge and the opportunity. We can, right now, if we're not a Christian, we can say, Lord, forgive me. Thank you for the cross. I want to live my life for you. If we are a Christian, we can say, perhaps for the first time, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. That Spirit, that same Spirit that John the Baptist saw, rest and remain on Jesus. Fill me. May I have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. If we've already had that experience, then we're praying, Lord, fill me again. Fill me to overflowing. That's our prayer. Those are the challenges. Those are the opportunities. And that's the stuff the children have been doing. Come on, we've got to up our game in church, guys. We've really got to up our game and catch up with where the children are. Amen.